As was just mentioned in the announcement time, we have had a very active calendar recently, the church activity calendar. I know it has been for me, very busy. I was just thinking back some of the things. We had a family camp out, very successful family camp out at the Pate Farm. And that was very positive. Very positive family study was conducted on that Sabbath. We had a men's weekend. Again, very positive, very encouraging. I think people were just enthused, and the spiritual adrenaline was pumping. We had preteen camp. I was privileged to serve at the preteen camp and see our precious young people, the preteen camp. And also right now, this weekend, we have the teen camp in this area. So we have all these things happening. This was brought out by one of the presenters on the men's weekend. It was mentioned the top three things that our campers, right, our teenagers put down that they look forward to, right? The top three things that they think that the church does, activity-wise. And some of you know the answer to this, right? What was number one? So this question on these campus surveys is asked, you know, what's the things that we do well in the church? Well, for those that don't know the answer, what the campus put down is what number one, I'll ask you, what is the number one event that you look forward to every year? Right? Probably lots of you in your minds are thinking the Feast of Tabernacles. Well, guess what? That's the same answer that our teenagers said. It wasn't summer camp, number one. I think that was number three or two or three. And also the Northwest Family Weekend, where all these people come together. I was right up there as two or three. But the number one was the Feast of Tabernacles. The theme at preteen camp this year was Race to Your Crown. So that was the theme for preaching, and I believe it's also the theme for the teen camps. So all the camps this year are using the same theme, Race to Your Crown. There are several places in Scripture that you could go to and talk about running the race. And I keep coming back to the book of Hebrews that we've been studying this year. So I'd like you to turn to Hebrews 12 with me. Hebrews 12. And if you've got one of these fancy high-tech ribbons that you want to put in your Bible, if you've got electronic version, you can easily flick back. But I'm putting a ribbon at Hebrews 12 because we're going to keep coming back to Hebrews 12 and these verses about running a race. So we'll read the first two verses here. And it says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, and after the sermonette, I could almost say, surrounded by such a great throng of friends, would almost be appropriate. But since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So this is going to be our focus. These two verses are the focus of the sermon today. And I thought about how I could, you know, break this down and go into it. And I thought about going word by word, because there's meaning almost in every word. There's meaning. But what I want to bring out is three points from verse one. So three things that are written. So in verse one, there's the goal. And we've heard about goals recently. The sermonette last Sabbath talked about goals a little bit. So number one is the goal. What is the goal in verse one? Run with endurance the race that is set before us. So run with it. So that's our goal. Run with endurance the race that is set before us. So that's our goal. Number two, then, is the obstacles in running that race. So obstacles, it says, lay aside those burdens that hinder us from achieving the goal. And then number three is the encouragement to achieve the goal of running that race. Number three, the encouragement is that we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. In fact, it says, so great a cloud of witnesses. When I came to church, I was thinking, well, we probably have smaller numbers today because we've got so much happening, right? Teen camp happening, I thought there'd be people. But instead, we've got lots of people coming in. And I won't point out that, you know, Steve and David also managed to make it here. I won't say that. I'll just say that privately to them later. But it's great, we've got all these people coming in and we're here together keeping God's Sabbath day. So let's look at this in more detail. So number one, the goal. First, you notice that it says run. It's not past tense, it's not ran, it's run. So it's present tense. Let us run with endurance. And there's also a future looking, right? Because it's, as I said, it's the goal, right? So there's also a future looking to the race that is set before us and the promises at the end of that race. So we'll stay in Hebrews. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12. Hebrews 6 and verse 12. It says, and I'm just going to break right in here to the thought that's being said at verse 12. It says, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. So already we have the sense of running this race, we're imitating others that are in this race with us. So the promises, that goal at the end of the race is those promises. And how do we run? It says with endurance. So the New King James says endurance. The King James says run with patience. And sometimes, I don't know if you question when you read a different version, why did one use this word and one use that word? Well, the word here is hupomone. If you want the, for you, if those taking notes, the Strong's number is 5278. So G5278. But it says in the definition, the Strong's definition says cheerful endurance, constancy, or cheerful constancy, enduring patience, patience. Continuance, patient waiting. So both the New King James and the King James have a very good translation into the English for this word. This going forward, let's go to, so I've got my ribbon in Hebrews 12. Let's go to Philippians 2 verse 16. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 16. It says, holding fast the word of life. And this is almost a paraphrase of how the sermonette finished, right? Holding fast the word of life so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. And running a race is not always easy, is it? It's not always easy running a race. Let's go to Hebrews, again back to Hebrews chapter 6. We already read verse 12, actually. I'll get there faster by using my fancy high-tech ribbon. So chapter 6 and verse 15. So So we already read verse 12, and if you want to go back later and read in some of these in between verses, but verse 15 says, "And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise." After he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Patiently enduring. So that's our goal, is running the race with endurance, with enduring patience. And these words were inspired by God, as we've covered when we talked about who was the author, right? These words in Hebrews, as the rest of the Bible, but very emphatically it says it about Hebrews, that this is the words that God wanted us to hear and to know. So God knows, Jesus Christ at the Father's right hand knows that it's not always easy running this race with endurance. And so that's where number two, the obstacles, right? Lay aside every weight. Now, when I was reading this verse, so if you want to flip back to Hebrews 12, lay aside every weight. I thought about weights, and I have released weights in my life to God. Some of them that I held on to for far too long. But you think about physically, because you think about the physical and that physical to understand the spiritual. God does that all the time in his word. But you think of a heavy backpack that you've got, right? It's loaded with all the things that are so necessary for us, right? And it's such a big backpack that you've got the belt strap, right, to help those stomach muscles when you're tramping. You've got the chest strap, right, to help the shoulders. And it's strapped on so that it's almost become part of your body, right? I don't know if you've ever been on a long tramp like this, where you're holding this, and you don't even want to take it off because you know if you take it off, you won't be able to get that back on. But you think you literally have to undo the chest strap. You have to undo the belt strap. You have to push it off your shoulders, right? Because you've got to get it off this shoulder, and then it's all on one shoulder. It's almost falling over, but you have to get it off, and you have to put it down. But the way it's worded here in Hebrews 12, it's not that you put it down here, oh, so I can come and pick it up again. How many, don't give me a show of hands that some of you have done this. You've taken this weight off. Hey, God, take care of that weight for me. And then you come along, oh, I'll just pick that up. Oh, I'll just take, oh, there's a few things inside the pack that I want. No, I think the analogy, if you're thinking the physical, you have to take that pack off and you've put it back here. And now you're going forward on the race. And it's back here behind you. Preaching camp was excellent. I could talk to you all afternoon about preaching camp. The campfire was probably one of the highlights, where the whole campus comes together for an hour and a half each evening. And there's story time, and there's songs, and there's laughter, and each of the dorms were assigned to give a skit. And their directions for the dorms was to tie in with a theme. So there were several very good skits. One of them that, you know, stuck in my brain was one of the girls' dorms. So they had, you know, they're acting out their skit. So one of the girls is running, and I think one of the counselors was a commentator. So one of the girls is running, and they go, "Oh no, here come the D's." And I don't know if they said the D's of the deathly D's or the despicable D's. But they had these D's. So one of them was, that I recall, was, "Oh, here comes doubt." So another camper came along and was saying, "Oh, you can't do this. You're no good. You haven't put in the exercise," right, as they're running the race. And then, and I don't know if it was another camper or maybe it was the counselor, but a scripture was read. The scripture was read, and then doubt was dispersed, and then the camper kept running and ran off the stage. And then the next camper came in. And now we have, you know, whoever it was. Now we have Julia running her race. And they go, "Oh no, here comes distraction." And then, you know, so there's another camper acting out distraction. So they're buzzing around the camper. and they're going, squirrel, right? And another scripture was read that dispelled distraction. And then one of the other D's that I remember was another camper comes in, they're running, and then, oh no, here comes dehydration. And I thought, that got a big laugh. But then the scripture that was read, right, and you know, it's like, oh, I've got some water for you, just come this way, you know, because as you would be in a normal race, you know, especially a marathon race, you need that water. And I believe one of the scripture that was read was along the lines of, come to the living water. So then it was taken to a spiritual level, right, our source of living water. And it was so good. So that was a very humorous way to think about distractions and the deadly D's, if I can say it that way. I like the despicable D's. That sounds good. There might have been another D, but my frail brain can't recall what it was. But the question is, what holds us back? What heavy burden is weighing us down in our race? Now, if I was to run a physical race right now, I know one of my burdens is I am carrying extra weight, right? If I lose 30, 40 pounds, I'd probably be in a lot better shape to run a race. But in a spiritual sense, what holds us back? Maybe some in this here that aren't baptized yet. What holds us back from baptism? What pulls us back into sins? Now, I can't give everybody the answers because there'll be different answers for each individual. And I don't want to share my personal examples right now. What distracts us? What steals our crown? Now, I've got to say to you, we often think of Satan stealing our crown, right? But sometimes we are our own thief. And then it says, so every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. So there's different weights. Some of them aren't necessarily sins. They're distractions, they're doubt. But then it says the sins. Now in chapter 12, the sense that I got reading this, right, it's putting aside these weights and sins is something that has happened in our life. Right, when we were baptized, we were submerged in that water, and I've attended some baptisms where the person came up out of the water and they looked back and they said, well, that is some dirty water. Right, and we understand that, don't we? Right, the spiritual symbolism from the physical act of being baptized, totally submerged, fully submerged in water. So the sense when I was reading this and studying scriptures all around was that this is something what we have done. We've put down the weight, we've put down the sins. So we know how to do it. We know how to do this. But even when we know how to do it, we still have these weights and these sins which so easily ensnare us. Let's go to Hebrews 1 verse 3. And we'll look at our best friend here. Right? How is it possible? Hebrews 1 verse 3. And I'm just going to break right in here, talking about Jesus Christ, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand on the majesty on high. Now, when we were baptized, we knew we couldn't purge our own sins. But sometimes in our enduring, we forget that and we think, well, I can do that. I can do that myself. Well, I can't. Right? And we have to, sometimes we have to actually be reminded of scripture like this. That it's Jesus Christ who purges our sins, who takes the burdens from us. That's the only way it can be done. It's a matter how, no, it doesn't matter if you've been in the church 10 years, 20 years, 30, 40, 60 years. It doesn't matter how experienced you are. It's Jesus Christ that takes our sins. And makes it possible. He's the one that makes it possible for us to run with endurance the race that is set before us. And on this race, we've got to make sure we're looking to the one who has purged our sins. But we also, think about that, we are running this race. Let's go to Hebrews 10, verse 33. There's lots of verses from Hebrews today. Hebrews 10, verse 33. And in this verse, it says, companions. It uses the word companions. You know what? I just jumped way ahead in my... You know what I did? I thought this doesn't sound right going there. Look, I had page 1 and page 2 sticking out. So we'll get to Hebrews 10:33 in a moment. That was just giving you a taste of what's coming up. That's going to be in the encouragement part. Now you're excited for me to get there. That's hilarious that I just did that. I was a bit flustered on the first day of preaching camp, I've got to tell you. Things didn't work out. We got delayed getting into housing, and I didn't feel like I really got things set up. And I'm teaching dance to these young 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11-year-olds. And my wife said to me, you know you're getting your left and right mixed up. Which actually worked out really good because half of them don't know their left from their right either. So it actually worked out really good teaching method. But we're still talking about point number 2 here. Right? The obstacles. Let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. And verse 22. Right, these burdens and these sins, it says, and I'm breaking right in here, and this whole section, the second half of Ephesians 4, is really talking about putting sins off, putting righteousness in, and you do it so well, right? There's several different examples. One of them is, if you steal, stop stealing. Number 2 is work, and then you work so well that you can give to others. So you've totally put sin out of your life. But I'll just read verse 22. You can think about those yourself. But verse 22 says that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And this applies even to those who grew up in God's church. Right? I grew up in God's church. And so I know that it applies to me because there were things that I did as a child that I don't do now as an adult. My wife says there's still some things you do as an adult that seem quite almost childlike. But we have to put off the former conduct, the old man. And then some of you like lists, right? There are many places that have lists. My wife loves lists. And she gets frustrated with me because I tend to keep some lists in my head, which is probably being less and less a smart idea as my brain fails me. So I probably should follow my wife's good example in writing lists out. But the Bible has lists for people that like lists. Let's go to one of those. Colossians 3, verse 8. Colossians 3, verse 8. But now you must also put off. So here's a list. You must put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Now, maybe some of you might read this list and say, oh, I've got all that covered. Well, there's other lists you can find in God's Word. But then it says, verse 9, do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So there's one list to put off. You can find others yourself. Okay, now we get to number 3, the encouragement. The encouragement to run the race. Okay. Hebrews 12. Therefore, okay, let's just stop there. Now, I've emphasized in messages before that when there is a therefore, it's referring back to what's come before. And most times, the therefore is translated from the word un in the Greek. But here in Hebrews 12, it's only two places with this word, and the word here is toigerun. So it's not just un, but it's toigerun. So it's even more emphatic, and there's only two places in Scripture where this Greek word is used. The other one, if you want to put it in your notes, is 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 8. So it's even more emphatic. The Strong's definition, if you want the number, it's 5105. Toigerun. So it's more than just un, it's toigerun. So it's more emphatic. It says, truly for them, that is consequently. So it's therefore, wherefore. But it's a very emphatic. So what does this refer back to? Well, obviously, there's Hebrews 11 that comes right before Hebrews 12. And we often refer to it as the faith chapter. I like to refer to it as the list of heroes of faith. The heroes of faith that are listed here. But you notice, go back one verse, verse 40 of Hebrews 11. It says, God, having provided something better for us, that they, referring back to the heroes of faith, they should not be made perfect apart from us. So we're in this race with the heroes of faith, because they are not going to receive, be made perfect. They're going to receive the promises without us. So it obviously refers back to the heroes of faith. But this emphatic targaroon, right, this emphatic therefore, I think refers all the way back to chapter 10. Because chapter 11 is like inserted there as a list of people that we can follow as an example, right, and be inspired by as part of our cloud of witnesses. But go back to Hebrews 10 as well. Hebrews 10, we'll start. I kept thinking where I should start because I could keep going back. But let's go to, for this, let's start in, at least in verse 35. It says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence. Right? That's almost like one of the doubts coming along, right? Coming along and buzzing around. It says, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, and if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. So sometimes you might focus on, if anyone draws back, I'm drawing back. But notice the next verse. It says, but we are not of those who draw back to perdition. Right? We are not of those who lose confidence. It says, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. Right? Includes everything. The saving of. Or everything that God holds as important. Okay. Chapter 12 again. It says, therefore. So we only got one word in then. Therefore. And it says, we also, right? So we also. So we just had the list of heroes in Hebrews 11. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. So the word cloud is nephos. And again, if you want that number, it's 3509. Now, it can mean a cloud, right, in the sky, but it doesn't mean that in Hebrews 12. All right? It says a cloud of witnesses. So the word is, so a cloud, but it says a large, dense multitude, a throng. So it's a large, dense multitude, a throng. And then it says, this throng is, right, it's a throng of witnesses. Now the word for witness is martus. Martus, and that number is 3144. This is only for those that want to take those copious notes and be able to look it up themselves. So we have Hebrews 11, right? We have those witnesses. And it can mean, the word can't matter, it can mean in a legal sense witnesses, like in a jury or someone who comes and gives testimony. But again, that's not the meaning here in Hebrews 12. Here we have some of the witnesses are those who have run before us. So we have the encouragement. We know that it can be done. Right? Hebrews 11 verse 40 that we already read. That we are going to finish the race with them. We're going to receive the prize. They have not been made perfect apart from us. And if I can paraphrase a Star Trek phrase, we go where others have gone before us. Right? We go where others have gone before. Right? We're not going where no man has gone before. We're going where others have gone before. There's also, you think of running a race, there's also witnesses. In a physical race, who are the witnesses? Right, there's those who are applauding, right? If you have a stadium and someone's ready, there's those who are applauding and cheering. So they're, that's a sense of part of the witnesses. But there's also those who are, like you think of a longer race, a marathon, those who are handing out a cup of water, right? To fight off dehydration, right, or an energy snack. And hopefully, you know, the messages today are like receiving an energy snack. But I come back to, and I started in this message, the number one thing that probably most of us in the room said that we look forward to each year, the event we look forward to, is the Feast of Tabernacles. Why is that number one on our calendar? Right, I know when I put down a calendar, I used to do this more when I was pastoring, but I'd put the calendar out, and the first thing you put in is the Feast of Tabernacles. And everything is around that. Now, you can do your calendar the way you do it. Some people do go chronologically, right, which also makes sense for some. But Feast of Tabernacles is number one in our event calendar. And there's many reasons we could give for that. One of them is it's God ordained. God ordained us to keep a physical feast to learn spiritual lessons each year. And we go to the feast and we are inspired, and in the Northern Hemisphere, we say, to get us through the cold winter months that are fast approaching. In the Southern Hemisphere, It's a little bit different because we have summertime happening afterwards. But you think about the things on our church calendar that we love, right? The Feast of Tabernacles, preteen camp, the United Youth Camps, right? This weekend we have starting a teen camp, and I hope all of you will be earnestly praying that it'll be the best teen camp ever. And that's a high standard, by the way, because the Northwest does teen camp in an excellent manner. And some of that credit goes to people in this room. But the credit really goes to God, who's inspired us to do these things. We have women's weekends. And I could ask for a ladies, put your hand up if you've been inspired going to women's weekend. I have. I got to speak at one. One time. At a men's weekend. Right? We talked about the men's weekend before it happened. Right? We had a men's study for the local men. And the men said in different tones and different words, but they said, I want to be inspired. I want to be encouraged. I want to be energized. Right? I want to be, and this is some of my thoughts, I want to be a better version of myself. When I go to preteen camp, I believe I am infused with energy. I'm infused with God's Spirit, and I'm a better version of myself. There are several reasons we could give for why these events are so looked forward to, why they are. But one of them, I put it to you, is that when we go to these events, we are surrounded by so great a throng of witnesses. If you want to tie in the sermonette, we're surrounded by friends. And some of them become stronger friends at these events. Hebrews 10:33, which you got a sneak preview of before. And there it says companions. Right, verse 33 says, partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations, but partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. So there's times in the church when others are going through tough times, when they have been wrongly treated. And we become companions in what they're struggling with. The word there for companions is koinonos. So the number is 2844, if you want to have that for your notes. But it says a partaker, a partner. And I thought, wow, I like that little definition, a partner. There's memory scriptures I have that I think about when I'm going through something tough. That there's others who are going through it with me. How inspiring is it to know that there are thousands of prayers going up on your behalf? That is priceless. The fact that I can speak in front of you, I think, is a result of thousands and thousands of prayers. Let's read this. And this section here is, we talked about the author of Hebrews, but this is one of those parts which people are trying to think, well, it must have been Paul. Because it says, verse 34, actually I'll start again in verse 33. Partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated, for you had compassion on me in my chains. So this is where some people say, oh, well, it was Paul who wrote this. But Paul wasn't the only one in chains. It says, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods. Right? There are sometimes when you help others out in the church, right, financially. But there's also the plundering of your goods because sometimes it takes time. Sometimes, and I've tried to learn this from my wife, when somebody comes to mind, send them a note. And how easy is it today to pull out the phone and send a text and say, I was just thinking of you, hope your day's going well. That's happened to me when I listen to my wife. And I said, oh, I've been thinking about this person. And she said, well, why don't you send them a message? Why don't you pick up the phone and call them? Oh, well, I'm a guy, I'll send them a text. But it's happened to me when the person said, oh, I needed to hear from, well, they say from me, but they needed to hear from somebody to know they weren't alone. Where did we get to? Let's read these verses. For you had compassion, verse 34, on me and my chains, and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. We're running this race together. It's another verse on this. Let's go to Hebrews 1 and verse 3. Oh, sorry. I just got my notes mixed up again. Sorry, Hebrews 3 and verse 14. Hebrews 3 and verse 14. Actually, let's start on verse 13. It says, but exhort one another daily while it is today. Is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Right? Lay aside the burdens and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And then verse 14, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. We are surrounded by so great a throng of witnesses. Our pastor emphasized recently faith, hope, and love. And that was the presentation that was given at the men's weekend. One of the other presenters at the men's weekend tied in their 3 points, correlated it with faith, hope, and love. And this was mentioned last week in the sermonette. Purpose, vision, action. Right? With faith being our purpose, the vision, the hope, and love being the action. What an outstanding church we would be if we applied love as our action in all things. The love from God. Let's go back to Hebrews 12 and read these. So verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, right? And I've tried to emphasize this. You know, there's witnesses. I mentioned about those passing water, but it's also those fellow runners running beside you. Now, Olympian runners, if they came in second or third, they know who came in first. They know the other runners who were in the race. Right, they are part of the witnesses, those running together in a marathon type race or any type of race. People know. But unlike a physical race where only one receives the prize, we run a race where we receive the prize with the heroes of faith in chapter 11. If that doesn't inspire you, I don't know what would. You receive, they do not receive without us. They are waiting for us. If I can put it that way. And they have run their race. We have friends and family that have run their race as well, that we're also inspired by. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And then verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, right? Looking unto our best friend, the author and finisher. What is he the author of? The author of our faith. It was pointed out when we looked at faith a little bit, what some people said, faith is like the starting point. Well, who's the author of our faith? Jesus Christ is the author of our faith. But he's also the finisher of our faith. So who's there right beside us? Who's the greatest witness in that throng of witnesses? The author and finisher of our faith. And then it says, who for the joy, and what was the joy? The joy was not the cross. It says he endured the cross. The joy, now there's several different voices and ways you could give an answer to what the joy was. But part of that joy was seeing us endure our race and finish our race. That's part of the joy that was set before Jesus Christ. So, does that mean we inspire Jesus Christ sometimes? If you can think through that analogy there. Part of his joy was knowing that we would endure and finish the race. Right? The author and finisher of faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Right? That wasn't a fun thing. Some of the things we have to go through are not fun. Despising the shame. There are some humbling things that we go through in life. And sat down, and just think about this, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So if I can use the analogy still, Jesus Christ ran his race, but he's still running his race because he's right there helping us as the author and finisher of our faith, our race of faith. Let's finish by reading these two verses together. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that was set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We are running our race together.